Okay, Rabbi Osei, it's good to see you again. I prepared a topic that should be the next step, building on what we did until now. And there was a book, a sefer that I've been searching for years, and I finally found it. I don't know where I misplaced it. Don't ask. I was in a panic. I thought it was in Israel. I thought it was in America. Finally, I found it. It's called Lumdus. And it's written by Rav Yitzhak Adler. And I'm not going to tell you that it's my first recommendation for you. I have a lot of disagreements with things that he said. But his first chapter, I think, is very, very important. And this is a structure which he gives very obscure language to describe it. I'm going to give it my own language. We've been speaking a lot about a shem, a chalushem, a class, you know, a category. And in modern Hebrew, if you want to classify something, you use the word lisaveg, which is the verb of the noun sug, samach vav gimel. So within this context of sivug, of using lumdus to classify, we have one major, major structure of chakira, and that is davar bifnei atzmo or chelek midavar acher. What it means is that as soon as you see an extension of something, whether it's a drabbanan extending a dindoraisa, take the classical case of Truma, Minatorah, Truma is only Zaysim Vanovim, and the Rabbanan expanded Truma to Shar Peros Elon and to vegetables and so forth. Whenever you see that happening, and it happens a lot, then you have to ask yourself, what is this new entity? Like, for example, you've heard the phrase Uber Yerech Imo. So what it means is when the fetus is born, it is now standing on 4 feet, if it's an animal, and it has its own independent life to it. It has its own identity, its own name. It creates a new classification. That's called Davar Bifnei Atzma. But sometimes, A gives birth to B. So you have, let's say, Truma D'Oraisa giving birth to Truma D'Rabbanan. And Truma D'Rabbanan is nothing more than another application of Truma D'Oraisa. Albeit, one is D'Oraisa and one is D'Rabbanan. But otherwise, they're identical. And what you use is, as your litmus test, is to check the dinim. If the dinim of this new entity are identical, they are a reflective image of the mother, then you know it's to be classified under the mother. If you follow what I mean. It's chelik midavar acher. If on the other hand, new dinim emerge, and the dinim are changed completely, in a very, shall we call, essential way, as opposed to accidental, then, because of these new dinim, you've created a davar chadash bifnei atzmo, a whole new category.
Even if the dinim are changed very subtly,
so that's what we're going to have to analyze in each case. If there's subtle differences, now for example, on a violation of a derabbanan, you only get makas maritis, you don't get malchus d'orais. But I wouldn't say that bears any relationship to our litmus test that we're looking for. If the only difference between chametz d'oraisa and chametz d'rabbanan, let's say if you hold that nuksha is only chametz d'rabbanan, if the only difference is that for chametz d'oraisa, chametz gomer, you get malchus d'oraisa, 49, your 39 lashes, the whole brunt of it, and in the case of chametz nuksha, you get makas mardus. If that's your only difference, then you haven't proved the thing. But if, for example, I would tell you that chametz nuksha doesn't have an Iser Bal Yerah Vayimotze, or if I were to tell you that Chavetz Nuksha is Mutar Manah, now you're talking about fundamental dinim, what I call essential dinim. Should I make a Shafiyot? Oh no, you were here once. But it's more than 30 days, so. But then, if that be the case, then for everyone here, it's probably a Shafiyot, right? You follow what I'm saying? So if If there's a fundamental difference, you're talking about the mother giving birth to the child. The mother is Asur. The Oraisa, with a Chiyuv Malkis, with an Isur Hana, with Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. If the child, Chametz Nuksha, assuming Chametz Nuksha is the Rabbanan, now has all those identical dinim, then you classify it as Chametz. And despite the fact that in the first case you'd get Malkus Doraisa, and in Nuksha as a Darbonin you'd only get Malkus Mardus, that difference, getting back to your question, Levi, would not undermine my assumption that since all the fundamental differences and dinim and descriptions and identical, Chametz identifying marks are equal to both Chametz Gomer and Chametz Nuksha, therefore I would classify Chametz Nuksha as Chametz. If on the other hand, lo and behold, Chametz Nuksha has no Ba'ira Ba'imotzeh, or Chametz Nuksha is Mutar Ba'na'ah, now you're stripping this new entity of all the identifying marks that characterize the mother, the prime Chametz, then you might be tempted to assume this Chametz Nuksha is a whole new entity. It creates a new class. It doesn't share the same shame Isur of Chametz Doraisa. Can anyone here think of an example? Again, if you want to cheat, you see it on my pages. But even without looking at the pages, there is what I call an archetype, a model for this kind of chakira, and we should always use it, to stimulate us as we go through Shas to apply that lumbus. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with Melech HaShabbos. What is the most fundamental distinction when you break up Melech HaShabbos, the 39? Melech
HaShabbos.
No, but what if you want to break it down? Isuri Shabbos. Exactly. Avos and Toldos. Is anyone willing here, and I don't bite, so you don't have to be inhibited, anyone willing to apply our Chakira to Avos and Toldos? And this should be the light, the guiding lit, the lamp below our, the light below our feet, taking us through this chakir. Yeah.
So is it told din b'fnei atzmah, or is it a chilek of the?
Correct. Is the tolda an extension of the av, or is it an entity, an iser unto itself, independent of the av? How would I go about checking that? What would be my litmus test? Are the chiyuvim the same, or in a more general sense, are the dinim the same? For example, and we're going to see this inside in just a minute. One of the malachos, the 39, is called Dash. And it has a tolda called Mefarik. Mefarik is a tolda of Dash. And here's the question. With Disha, there's a principle that says, Ein Disha, Ela Bigdui Karka. So for example, milking a cow on Shabbos, the Rambam classifies as Mefarik, which is a tolda of Dash. What question should you ask? Ask me a conceptual question and a practical question. Levi? That's the practical question. What's the conceptual question?
How's it viewed?
How's it viewed? If Mefarik is what? Is Dash, it's just a different form of Dash, then it should be limited and circumscribed in the same way that the Av is, namely it should only apply to Kedulakaka. If on the other hand the Tolda emerges as its own identity, it's a new shame Isur, again because we were extending what we discussed last time about a shame, a Chal Shem, then I'm not bound by the same limitations and I can have Disha in the case of Mefarik as a Tolda. Shalom in Gedulei Karka.
You say a cow is also Gedulei Karka.
Oh, so the Magid Mishnah says what Levi's saying. And I'll tell you the truth, it's about 3 decades and I'm trying to figure out what the Magid Mishnah means. the cow eats from the ground and that makes the Gedulei Karka. I mean, it's wild. That certainly is not your definition of Gedulei Karka anywhere in Kol Tarkul. But the Magid Mishnah is so bothered by this Rambam. Take a look at the Rambam. You'll see it here. Does everybody have these pages? If not, it's 2 pages. So the Rambam says, Hadash ki grogeres chayov, this is Perikhes Halacha Zion, the second source on your page. V'ein disha ela bigdui karka. V'amafarek, harehu told us hadash. V'acholev es habehema chayv mishum afarek. Good. So if you tell me that a farik is a told of dash, I would tell you, I would submit to you, that just like dash is only bigdui karka, so to mafarik is only bigdui karka. But then the Rambam goes a step further, and he identifies cholev as moleches mafarik. But cholev is on a behema. Cholev is not on gidui karka. So the Magid Mishnah is so upset by this question, he writes, and again, there's a long Magid Mishnah. That's the nice thing about Bar Ilan, you know, you can play around with it. I tried to emphasize the following words. He's talking about cholev. He says, Afal pishamu ein dishal gidui karka, behema nikreis gidui karka. I mean, your eyes have to pop out when you see this. You know, what you see from this Magid Mishnah is that if a question is heavy enough, if it's difficult enough, you can come to the most radical conclusions imaginable. Because the truth is, if somebody would get up in my class and tell me, Rabbi Berzon, I think that behemoth is gedulei karka because it eats the grass, I would tell him to go smoke grass. You know what I mean? He's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But as I say, Magid Mishnah. But Rabbeinu Avraham, Ben HaRambam, in his Shud Birchas Avraham, and again, we have to go through the whole thing in order to get the full brunt of it. You see it on the page, though. Page one. Are you with me? Number base. I didn't do Tosfos Yontov. We'll come back to Tosfos Yontov in a second. But the Birchas Avraham, which is the Shud Sefer of Rabbeinu Avraham, Ben HaRambam, he was asked this question about Ein Dishel Abigdui Karka, and therefore, what are you going to do with Moleches Mefarek, or Cholev, which is identical with Mefarek? He says, this question is appropriate. It's a good question, he says, but it's based on a mistaken premise. What do you think the mistaken premise is going to be in the light of Al-Hakira? Fakert. The question is based on the premise that Mefarik is the same Shevi, so therefore the same limitation the Dinam should apply, and therefore Ain. Just like Ain Dishel Bigdu Karak Ma'is, right? Rewrite the script, Ain Cholev, or Ain Mefarek Bigdu El Bigdu Karak. He says, nay, that's not so. It's an intelligent question. He admits it. But it's based on a misconception. He says, Ain Dishel Bigdu Karak, the Disha Hu Ha'av is Ain El Bigdu Karak. Vamefarek Shu Atolda, Yeshno Bain Bigdu Karak. This, my friends, is the kishkis of everything I want to share with you today. If you will walk out of here and remember this machlokus between Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arabam and the Magid Mishnah, then zeschari mikol amol. I'll be a very happy man. Because I'm telling you, this will give you a derech halimut more than anything else. You walk around with this in your back pocket, and your mind just expands. You know, you're grasping something that's such a meaningful tool. What is the Tolda? Is the Tolda an entity unto itself? Or is it Uber Yerech Imo? Does it still belong to its mother? Does it cling to the apron strings of its mother, the umbilical cord of its mother? No! We're going to sever the umbilical cord, says Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam. The Tolda stands on its own. And this might give us a clue to explain a machlokas tanoim. Give me 1 more minute, Zev, and then the floor is yours. There's a machlokas tanoim about the following scenario. A person violates the same isur twice, what's called helem achas, and it's an isur shebemezid chayev kares, bishogig chayev chatos, correct? How many chataot does he bring if he violates the same isur over and over again? I eat chalev, and then I eat another chalev. Anybody know? Only once. But if he eats chalev and dam, he's chayv twice. Every iser engenders its own chiv chatos. But a repetition of the same iser, what would you say if a person violates an av and it's tolda behelim achas on Shabbos? How many chatos does he bring?
Depends on who you have to
figure. It's a machlokas tanon. Would you believe it? Machlokas Tanoim. You see, we think that love this is for, you know, explaining Machlokas between Rabbi Gibeger and the Nesivis, you know, or maybe between the Shach and the Taz, or perhaps between the Rashba and the Ritva. Rashi and Tais, nein, we're talking about Tanoim here. According, take a look in the Mishnah in Bava Kama. You'll see it here, it's about two thirds down the page. The Gemara says, my Ika Bein Avli Tolda, Nafkimina de Ilu Ovid Shte Avos. Bahari Adodi Namishte told us Bahari Adodi, mean two told us from two different avos. Is Mechaiva Kol Chad, and Mechari has to bring two chatos. The Ilu Ovid Av Vitolda Di Day. But if he violates the Av and its Tolda, let's say for example, there's an Av Molocha called Notea, or Zorea, you could. And then there's a Tolda called Mashkiz Roim. You know, he doesn't put the seed in the ground, but he waters the seed. He did it both Beheli Machas. It's very Shayach. You know, he forgot it Shabbos. Puts down the seed, and then he waters it. 2 or 1, what would you say? So the Gemara says that here's the difference between a Tolda and an Av. Says the Gemara, Lo Machayev Elochado. Since he did the Tolda of that Av, it's exactly equivalent to violating the same Av twice. So how many chatos does he bring? Only one. Rabbi Lazar, the Machayev I told of a book of Av. Rabbi Lazar says, nay, if you violate the Av and it's Tolda, you chayev two chatos. It's equal to eating what? Chalev and Dam. Why? Two different issues. The Tolda engenders its own classification. In fact, there's a Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rishonim vacillate back and forth, who maintains that a Tolda could give birth to another Tolda. A Tolda could give birth to another Tolda.
With a different set of demons.
And then again, you know, you'd have to ask if the Tolda of a Tolda is equal to the Tolda, or it's a new or an Isin. But the point that I want to make is that if the Tolda is only a repetition of the Av, I don't think a Tolda has the status to give birth to a Tolda. But let me ask you the following question. A man is about to violate an Av on Shabbos. I have to give him Asra and tell him that that's the nature of the Isur, and for that he'll be Chayav Misa. What if he violates a Tolda? So if I mention the Isur, the Tolda, I told him, don't be Mashkiz Roim, because if you're Mashkiz, or don't be Mefarik, if you're Mefarik, you'll be Chayav Misa Bidei Shemai, get Skila. Fine. But what happens if instead of giving him Asra on the Tolda, I gave him Asra on the Av? What would you say?
Tell him the Shaila.
Exactly. It's this Chakim. If the Tolda is just a repetition of the Av, it's a Shinui Tzura, or maybe a different Chefza, but the Malacha essentially is the same and the Iser is the same, then I'm giving it B'Shem HaYisr. But if the Tolda emerges as a separate, independent Isur, then I didn't give him Asra B'Shem HaYisr. And this is what Tosus points out at the beginning of Bava Kama. He says, V'yim tomer v'neimet den afkabinu li nasra, shetzorach lahasros atolda mishum avdida. He says that not only, according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that Yechayev, according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that Yechayev Stein, right? He says, just 1 second, did I get this right? According to Rabbi Lazar, that Yechayev on the Tolda Mokam Av, he's saying that in the Asra would have to be two separate Asros. There would have to be Asra on the Tolda, Asra on the Av. According to Chachamim, that it's one Isur, Haraya, how many Chatos do you bring if you violate both the Av and the Tolda? Only one. So Mela, I can give you the Asra. It could be, I have a choice. I can give it to you B'Shem the Tolda or the B'Shem the Av. But it's all the same. Because it's the same Isur. So the floor is yours. Sorry.
That's fine. Is it true that just if we're able to apply this hakira of its midarachah b'fnei atzmo, will that always follow that the midarachah b'fnei atzmo is not the same shame?
Correct. That's what we're saying. It's another language for saying it has its own shame.
How would we know
shame b'fnei atzmo?
Just because if it has different dinim to the extent that we'll want to classify it as a midarachah b'fnei atzmo, perhaps that which has the shame of the item that we're talking about doesn't necessarily, you know, is a maksha of those particular dinim. Perhaps the shame relates to a different to a different set of dinim, and it allows for that type of deviation. Like if you have a pri, an apple and an orange. So although they deviate one from another, nevertheless they're both considered to be perus. So maybe like a shame, well, even though it has a certain dinim, will be differentiated from its source. So nevertheless, it's still the same shame.
It depends. Like Levi was saying before. I mean, if the difference between the av and the tolba, if you follow what I mean, is very minor. You know, like one is the rice and one is the rabbanon, which is major. But I'm saying it's minor in the sense that the rabbanon have the power to engender an extension. And if they're engendering an extension, it retains the same classification and the same shame iser or shame mitzvah. But once you get to the point where what I call the identifying or essential elements of the av are not passed on to the tolda, that means the tolda now becomes an avera unto itself, such that you chayev a new chatas, and it's not included under the old chatas of the av. Or alternatively, it requires its own hasra, or can accept its own hasra. Now you're beginning to see. That's why I say the Birkas Avram is our prototype, because he's saying that this fundamental halacha of Ein Disha Elavik Dui Karka does not apply to Cholev, because Cholev is a tolda. The tolda is free of the shackles of the Av. That changes the whole nature of the Isur. Now, Dui Karka is a very limiting force. I'll give you another example that I love to speak about is Arlas Chutzlaretz. You know that Arlas Chutzlaretz is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. If you open up to Parshas Kedoshim in Vayikra Yates, you'll see the Parsha of Arla, and the Torah introduces the Parsha by saying Kisavo Al Arzachem. And classically, Arla, like any other mitzvah Shatzliya B'Karka, is Tzliya B'Eretz Yisrael. It's not Noheges B'Chutzlaretz, but we have Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Arlas Chutzlaretz. What hakiri should you be asking about Arlas Chutzlaretz? Based on, again, I'm sort of spoon feeding you because if you, yeah.
Is it a chilek of Arlas Eretz Yisrael, or is it a new din?
Is it the same shame Easter of Arla, or is it a new shame Easter? This is Rav Chaim's famous hakira. And he has tons of nafkaminis. For example, in the parish of Arla, there's something called Ravai, which means that in the fourth year, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim at that same Kedusha as Bais Sheni. Is there Ravai in Chutzlaretz? Not an Afghanim. Do we take Arla's Chutzlaretz, place it in the parish of Arla's Eretz Yisrael, and engender Chiv Malchus? I'm talking about Malchus Doraisa. Or a third Nafkamina. He wants to know whether all the dinim that apply to Arlas Eretz Yisrael should apply to Arlas Chutzlaretz. For example, we have halach of Safek L'chumra. Do we apply Safek L'chumra in Arlas Chutzlaretz? If it's not bound by the same shame Easter as Arla, if it's not put... The language of Reb Chaim is very fast. It's on the bottom of page 1. He says the following. The Rambam, he's quoting the Rambam first, in Macholos Asuris Perek Yud Halacha Tesvav. And the Rambam writes, Yirali, whenever you see that, you know, your tentacles have to go up. You know, the Rambam's saying a chiddush. He has no source for it. She'ein din neter avai noeg b'chutzlaretz. Then in chutzlaretz is no neter avai. Can you see where Reb Chaim is going to... The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says, wait a minute. If there's Arlas chutzlaretz, then there's got to be neter avai in chutzlaretz. Take a look at the next page. He says, "Vanira bibir plugtas a Rambam vagaonim." What lies at the heart of this machlokas? He ne yesh lefarish halacha di orla hanoheges bechutzlaretz betray gavni. That's a classical Reb Chaim language. When he wants to formulate a hakira, betray gavni. Yesh lefarish betray gavni. He says, certainly Arlas chutzlaretz and Arlas Eretz Yisrael are different, but tzarich iyun. You see where I underlined it. Im heichash and oheges arla b'chutzlaretz as he b'chlal arla haksuva b'torah. In other words, does the halacha Moshe Misinai in Reb Chaim's language take arla in chutzlaretz and place it back into the parsha, expand the parsha of arla Eretz Yisrael? The ikar halacha ba l'gluye akra. It's a gili milsa. The halacha, which means the mesora that we have, the tradition, ish mi pi ish, of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai and Arla's Chutzlaretz, it's just telling us, don't circumscribe the parish of Arla to Eretz Yisrael. The afagav the chol mitzvah tliyus baretz ain't no heges ala baretz, aval Arla shine even no heges b'chol makom, v'im keim gam Arla's Chutzlaretz nichlala. What does nichlala mean?
part of the same.
It's included in Nichlala. It's not due to Michala. This is not Nichlala Bikra Diarla. Oh, here's the other possibility. The name, or should we suggest, the Ha Vadai Diarla Abur Bitora Eina Ela Be'eretz Yisrael Kipshuta Shal Mikra. The Arla's Chutzah Eina Nichlalis Ba. There's only a separate halacha, but it's a new category. And if it's a new category, then there'll be a nafkamina on the next line. Le'inyan neter avai. Dim halacha balagalas tegam arlas chutzas nechlelas paparsha. Memeli yashlam agam neter avai. Kach diiskish li arla. Because the parsha of arla engenders neter avai. Mashen kenimu isur. Oh, look at that. Chadosh. There's the word I wanted. Isur chadosh. You see, we should add... The title of our page one is Dover Bifnei Atzma. I would add a Dover Chadosh Bifnei Atzma. Okay, Iser Chadosh Me Alochel Moshe Misidim Kevin Mele De'ein Iser Avai Shaya Klalazen. And then he's going to say that this is totally in the machlokas about whether you get Makas Doraisa or Makas Dorabonon on Oral Schutzah. It sets a small font in the next paragraph.
I mean, wouldn't potentially have another Chilu just being that for another Avai, anyways? Maybe it's just like
That could be the other way of learning this sugya, but Reb Chaim chose this way of learning this sugya. Right. You know, maybe he didn't find a better way of learning this sugya, but he didn't find a barrier, you know, to prevent you from taking your, you know, the fruits from Brooklyn in the fourth year and bringing them to Yerushalayim. He didn't find any ma'akif in that.
Does Rebbe have a way of gauging when a certain din deviates to a sufficient degree that you could consider it to be like a Dor of Neatzma?
I'm just thinking that this example of Arla is an excellent one, because to rewrite our Chakira in terms of Parsha, so that when something, you see, but it's not going to help us with Darabonin, but when something is Doraisa, but it's not written in the Parsha, and we have a tradition, which is called Halacha Moshe Misinai, to teach us about that something, do we now put it back in the parasha? And then you go ahead and read the parasha and see what the parasha says. If the dinim on this new entity, already I gave away the answer, but if this new din are not reflective of what it says in the parasha, A, B, C, and D, then you know it's a whole new din. Otherwise, why, again, unless it's a ma'akev, as Yonatan says. So those that I think Avison told us, and Arlas Chutzot are great examples of this Chakir. Let's try Tosis Yontif. Okay, Tosefis Yontif, Tosefis Shabbos, number one on your page. And that means that I can be Makabla myself, Kedusha Sayom, even before sunset, before the time period that the Kedusha is automatically engendered. Tosfos has a sugya in Ksubis, and it's fascinating because the sugya in Ksubis has nothing whatsoever to do. It's just Agav Urcha. The Gemara tells a case where the Rabbanan described that a father was moser as bito l'chupa on Erev Yontif. In other words, right before Yontif. So Tosfos says, Afal gav di omer b'moed katan. The Gemara has a drush in Moed Kav, V'samachta b'chachecha v'lo v'chach, they know sim noshim v'chol shal Moed, mishum de'ein ma'ar v'n simcha v'simcha. Okay, so we have a rule called Ein ma'ar v'n simcha v'simcha. So you're not allowed to get married on Yontif, because marriage, nesuin engenders simcha, and Yontif engenders achiyu v'samachta b'chachecha. V'samachta b'chachecha has to be given its due, its... All, you know, it's an all or nothing kind of thing. It's exclusive. Don't mix another simcha. Tos wants to know here in the Gemara, the Masar Lo b'Shabbosos v'Yomim Tovim, that he gave her over for Nesuin, and it was Yontif. How could it be? And Tos assumes that the drush in Moed Katan of a Samachta v'Chagecha v'Lo b'Shtecha is not an Asmachta. It's a real full fledged Din Doraisa. It undermines the Simchas Yontif. How could they have done? So look at his first answer. Ikal Meimar, do you see the other line? The Hacha, the case here in Ksubis, because the Gemara doesn't go into detail exactly what happened. Irish Shah Achas Lifnei Yontif. It wasn't on Yontif that the chuppah took place, but 1 hour before Yontif, Shehu ki Yontif le'inyan melacha. What does he mean it's ki Yontif? Why is an hour before Yontif ki Yontif? That's called what? Tosefes. The Tosefes d'oraisa? Ubetela bi'osa shah min hamalacha.
Well, it doesn't
have
back on the
gender. Oh, excellent. Wow, I'm impressed. That's great. Now, Tosef is saying that Tosefes Yontif engenders Isur Malacha, but not Simcha. And therefore, to get married during Tosefes Yontif is not a problem, because you're not undermining the Simcha. But then he goes on and gives a second answer. He's not happy, apparently, with the first answer. He says, no, you're going to have to tell me that the whole Isur of Nesu'in is only Nesu'in plus Su'uda. But if it was just the kinyan nesu'in, the chup itself, the chup per se, that doesn't undermine under the halacha of v'samach l'kech v'lo v'ishtecha the simchas yontif. So let's just review two answers and see if we can perhaps come to the kishkas. What are they arguing about? Two answers in Tosfos. The first answer Tosfos says, all right, Tosef is yontif, he's also b'malacha, but there's no mitzvah simcha. And if there's no mitzvah simcha, he's allowed to introduce a simcha from the outside, simchas nesu'in. The second answer says, no. That's not a good answer. You got a problem, my friend. I don't care if it's Tosefes Yontif. But you know what? He did the Nesu'in without the Suda. He left the Suda till after Yontif.
He learns that Simcha is dependent on his law. Second answer.
It sounds like... Okay, I don't want to say it the way you said it, although that's also correct what you say, but I would say it like this, that the second Teretz holds that Tosefes Yontif engenders what? Yontif, the whole kit and caboodle. And if the whole kit and caboodle is engendered, then it includes what? Simchas Yontif as well. So what's the machlokas? How would you put it in terms of our chakir?
Is Tosefes Yontif, is it like a
tzotzah?
Is it
new? Is Tosefes Yontif an extension of Yontif? It's subcategorized. And it has the same dinim as Yontif.
Or is it like...
Right, it's extension, or no, it's a new category, it's independent. It's a birur b'fnei atzmo. Isn't that beautiful? There's a lot to talk about on this, a velt to talk about. We're just touching the tip of the iceberg on this issue. But what you do see here is, in a very vague sort of way, I like the other examples better because they're very specific. Here it's a little bit more general. What are we dealing with here? We have, you see, when I talk about a mother and a child, you know, the mother comes first and the child comes second. Here the sequence is the reverse, because you start with Tosefes Yontif. But conceptually, Tosefes Yontif is really subsequent to Yontif. I don't mean chronologically, you know, you can't have Tosefes Yontif before Yontif, but conceptually, first you have Yontif as an entity, now Yontif could give birth to Tosefes Yontif. Is that Tosefes Yontif identical with Yontif? Or it's a whole new birur? And really what we're getting down to, and this is, Yosef, I think this is what your point is, that Kiddushas Yontif really has two different wings to it, two different branches to it. There's Isur Malacha, and there's Chiyuvei Mitzvah. In the case of Shabbos, and maybe Yontif as well, you have Kibud V'Oneg, Sudas Shabbos, Sudas Yontif, Simcha, all these positive commands. So in a sense, Kiddushas Hayom is a complex hybrid that has both the negative, the Los Aseh, and the positive, the Eser. The question is, can we split between the two? In your paradigm of Shabbos or Yontif, you cannot split between the two. It's an all or nothing proposition. The name of the game is this baby that includes both Isur Malacha and Mitzvahs. But when we get to Tosefes, maybe Tosefes is a whole new entity, and it only takes on the complexion of Isur Malacha without the kiyum, the chiyuv of Simcha. The second Teretz of Tosefes is saying no. Once it's Tosefes Yontif, you have no room to maneuver here. You're engendering a chiyuv simcha on the v'samachta v'chagecha. But I want to reinterpret the din of ein ma'arvin simcha v'simcha. Ein ma'arvin simcha v'simcha, says Tosefes, the second Teretz, is only what? Se'uda, and not the etzem ha'nis. Next case. All right, we're on page 2. And we have a machlokas here between the Taz. Yeah.
First, the answer is also to disagree with that concept of Misun by Suda. Sort of, it's a different sugya, but you would also disagree with that.
Right. You have to ask what is nesud? Is nesud is a ma'isa simcha, or it's only a ma'isa kinyan which engenders simcha? The suda is the simcha. You know, that's a different issue, and that has to be analyzed. There's a famous go ahead.
The second answer, you could even have
We purposely left that open.
Okay. In the second answer, you can have nisun potentially on Yom Tov.
Second answer, yeah. As long as you postpone the suda to after Yom, it would be a little bit similar to there's a famous Tosfos in Ksubas that allows you. Thank you. It allows you to get married during Avelus, even though an Avel is enjoined from Simcha. But for the sake of period of Arivia, in certain cases, if he has no children, or he has young children, needs a wife to take care of them, they can allow him to get married even during Avelus. But what they'll do is they'll postpone the Seuda and the Hopla until after the Avelus is over. It's a very strange kind of thing. You know, he marries her and he consummates the marriage and he's busy having children, but the Seuda is going to take place. Is going to take place. What do you say?
Is the Hopla and the Suda two different?
No, the same. Yeah. All right. There's a famous machlokus between the Taz and the Marshal. I'm sure as soon as I tell it over to you, you'll remember it. The question is as follows: what happens on the seventh day of Sukkot, right before nightfall, entering into the eighth day, which is Shmini Atzeres? If I accept upon myself Tosefes Yontif, which means I took upon myself Shmini Atzeres, the sun is still in the horizon, hasn't set yet. Technically, in astronomical terms, we're still in the seventh day, not in the eighth day, but I accept it upon myself. Where do I eat my Suda? In the Sukkah or out of the Sukkah? Oh, I don't know about Rosh Chodesh. Let me just get through this one first, then you tell me about Rosh Chodesh. But comes along the Marshal and he says, don't eat. Don't eat at that time. Because if you eat, you'll have to eat in the Sukkah. It's still the seventh day. And if you're eating in the Sukkah, you're going to make a bracha, Leshev Basukkah. Leshev Basukkah is a stira to Shmini Atzeres. Says the Marshal, you don't understand. Tosefes Yontif means that you have a chiyuv of Shmini Atzeres, but that doesn't change the day itself. He says, for example, supposing Friday is the 10th day of the Omer, and I accept upon myself Shabbos an hour before Shabbos, what would I count? If I hadn't counted 10, or should I count 11? He says the Tosefes Yontif that you accepted upon yourself doesn't engender a new day. Lila, it's not Lila. And therefore, he says, you can count the 10th day of the Omer and not the 11th day of the Omer. He gives another beautiful raya. Rav Tzoli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos Avalola Soso Lila Shari Kriyachva Shal Arvis Omer v'shaita b'layla. The Gemara says in Masech the Brachos that Rav accepted upon himself Shabbos early, and he davened the Tefillah Shabbos. The sun hadn't set yet, but when did he say Kriyat Shema? After Tzeisa Kokom. Tosefes Yontif doesn't have the power to change day into night, and therefore it's still the seventh day of Sukkot. If you eat a meal, you got to eat it in Sukkah. Don't get into that, he says. And the Taz is very upset. He says, Gozar HaMarshal Tainis away. He took this hour of Tosefes Yontif and he was going to Tainis. A new Tainis. Where do we find a Shas that you have to fast at that hour? There's no such thing. And he gets really excited about this. He says, Dilama, towards the bottom of page 2, again, there's a lot in the middle here. Dilama Gozar Tainis Bechinam. B'shas Knis HaShmini Atzereshu Mibodyom. Minanimna means it's impossible to maintain such a thing. And he goes on, you'll see it on page 3, and he expands on this, and he says, Ube'emes svara shebona harav olav, the svara that the Marshal built on it, Eino kayom klal, it doesn't exist at all. That's very heavy language. Devadei misha mosif michol al kodesh hu osa al pitzivui torah seinu ukvar cholaf v'cholach vivenu chovas hayom mashahoy alav kodem lachin v'havi kmo belayla umachar manish, and therefore there's no chiyuv sukkah. In other words, according to the Taz, what's going to be during that hour? No tainus, you can eat. We can eat in the house. You're not going to eat in the sukkah. So the Marshal, again, if we could talk, you know, as a shadow of the Marshal, what would he say? What do you mean you can eat in the house? How can you eat in the house? It's the seventh day of Sukkot.
Like there's a clash between like the halachic reality and the practical reality.
Yeah, it's a fascinating question. In Maseret, I used to speak about this always, you know, we had a period of time before Shemini Atzeres that it was like downtime, you know, because you really shouldn't rush into Shemini Atzeres, let Sukkot end, you know, so I used to always say over this machlokas. But could it be, Rabosai, that this machlokas is really our issue about how to define Tosefes Yontif? Anybody want to try that? Try that on for size. Yonatan, what do you say?
Hey, well, if you say that it's an extension, if it's the same thing, then yeah, it's Shemini Atzeres.
Correct. But what Kiddush Hayom is the Torah imposing upon me? If the Torah gives me the license to what?
To make Tosefes Yontif.
To extend to Tosefes Yontif, extend Yontif, then for me it's Shemini Atzeres. The Torah can't have two Kiddush Hayom on the same time. One is mutually exclusive of the other. If they're exclusive, if they're contradictory, either yes in the sukkah or outside the sukkah, so tell me what it is. So the Torah gave me the license and the cue of Tosefes. Tosefes means the Kiddush Hayom. If it's the Kiddush Hayom, then I eat in the house. I don't eat in the sukkah. Comes along the Marshal and he says, nay, Tosefes, it's not yet Yontif. You may have Chiyuvim. You may have Isurim. But essentially, you're still holding in Sukkot. So it's a fascinating thing, according to...
Why would it be an issur to sit in the Sukkot and make a bracha?
Yeah, that he has a whole sugya with Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, with Tarti Nesasri. I mean, yeah, that would really require hours and hours of work, you know, getting... But basically he says that to sit in Sukkot would be a stira to Shemini Atzeres. So, in other words, you're walking a tightrope here, and it's irreconcilable in the Marshal's frame of reference. On the one hand, according to the Marshal, it's Shemini Atzeres, and you can't be pogea, you can't insult Shemini Atzeres with a stira by making a bracha on a sukkah. But on the other hand, even though it is Shemini Atzeres, it's not Shemini Atzeres. Because Tosas Yontif doesn't really create that Yontif. It may superimpose certain dinim on you, but the old dinim of Sukkot in this case, because it's the seventh day of Sukkot with the Chiyuv Sukkah, that can't be Pukka. Obviously, this needs a lot of work. I mean, we're just, as we say, touching the end. Oh, let's talk about Shechut Eichutz. I'm skipping now Machshir Yochel Nefesh because we're limited in time, and Shechut Eichutz is straight up Masechta Pesach. Okay, even though we're going to quote a sugya in Kiddushin, but it's really based on the sugya in Pesach. Okay, as you'll soon see. So in Kiddushin, the Gemara wants to know if a man marries a woman and gives her shchut eichutz, because the law is that kesef shtar, but what is kesef? It's got to be what? Worth something to her. It's got to be a shavah pruta. But if shchut eichutz is asur, then he gave her nothing. So the Mishnah records a machlokas. The Braisa records a machlokas. Hamakadesh bechul shenishkdu bazor. Reb Shimon Omer mekudeshes. Chachom Omer ena mekudeshes. And the Gemara derives from this Braisa that according to Reb Shimon, chulin shenishkdu bazor lav deoraisa. That means that according to Reb Shimon, the Torah never asked shchute chutz chulin shenishkdu bazor. V'im Tomar Tosus asks, Hamashma the ikei sur drabanan. It says shchut eichutz. The shchut and shenishkdu bazor lav deoraisa. What's the implication? That it's drabanan. What happens if you mekadesh an isha with isurei drabanan? You could already begin to hear, Hedim, how do you say, echoes of our Chakira over here. This is really our Chakira, because if the Darabanan is classified as an extension of the Doraisa, then just like the Doraisa you can't have Kedushin, the Darabanan you can't have Kedushin. But if it's a whole new entity, so Tosus says, the mashma lishnavim kein heich makadish ben v'amar rav v'perikamet v'psachim dav zayin ha-makadish mivav sholso l'mala afil v'chuti kur d'raisa d'yena masurim ella midrabanan ein choshin l'kidushin. So basically, Tosus is asking, find me a difference. And here's where our Hakim is going to take on a whole nother notch. Really, it develops a whole nother extension to it, if you will. Tosus wants to classify the difference between Chometz Nuksha as an Iser Derabbanon and Chulin Shenish Ketuvah Azar as an Iser Derabbanon. And the Nafkamina is going to be whether the Kedushin is Chal. So in the case of Chometz, Ein Choshin LeKedushin, even though it's only Chometz Derabbanon. In the case of Chulin Shenish Ketuvah Azar L'Reb Shimon, the Kedushin is valid because it's only Derabbanon. Maishna Hai Derabbanon, Maishna Hai Derabbanon. In other words, what Tosus wants to know is there a criterion to determine whether the Derabbanan is an extension of the Doraisa and maintains the same status, the same dinim, or it sets itself up as a whole new Derabbanan, a new entity? And somehow in the case of Chometz, it's going to be an extension. In the case of Chulin Shenish Ketuvah Azar, it's a brand new entity. Tosus says, Yesh Lomer Dehasam, in the case of Chometz, Ika Mia Shaos Doraisa. What is he saying?
Saying that they're both different, saying that they're both different entities, but really there's something else.
No, but what does he mean when he says that at least in the case of Chometz, there is a Shah Doraisa? Now we're talking about Darabonos. But there is such a thing as a Shah Doraisa. Well, there is Chometz Doraisa.
That must have been Shayach to only the Chometz.
That the Rabbanon extended the Iser Chometz, the Shem Chometz. You see, in the case of Chulin Shenish Ketuvah Azar, it's Yesh Me'ayin, it's Ex Nihilo. There's nothing there. It's a pure creation of the Rabbanon. This is what Tosus in Beitza calls Dovrisha Einlo Iker Min HaTorah. If you remember the Tosus by Eitzim Shadashu Min HaYulon at the beginning of Beitza. So basically, it comes out according to Tosus, this will be a fascinating research project to analyze all the Rabbanons. If the Rabbanon is an extension, the Torah only gave you so much and it was limited, but the Rabbanon came along and extended it, then we're going to give that the Rabbanon the same status and classify it as the Doraisa with the same shape. If the Rabbanon are coming up with something brand new, which is Tosus and Chulin Shenish Ketuvah Azar L'Reb Shimon, Tosus and Beitza is going to say it with regard to Mukta Eitzim Shenosh V'Nilam V'Yantuf, which Mukta is a total rabbinic invention, then it's a shame of Ne'atz. And if it's a shame of Ne'atz, it lends itself to Kiddushin. For example, I was thinking of... Oh, you have to go. Go ahead. Yeah, I was thinking about Peros Ha'ilon. Remember we spoke about Truma, that the Rabbanon instituted Truma's Peros. Because when Torah, it's only Zeis and Vanov. So again, if the Rabbanon are extending the mitzvah of Truma, then even Truma Derabbanan has the same status as Truma Doraisa. If on the other hand, they would come up with a whole brand new mitzvah, like Ner Chanukah, for example, I would say that Ner Chanukah, the Gemara is going to be bothered how you make a bracha on Ner Chanukah. Hechad Tzivanu. You remember that sugya in Shabbos Chof Gimel? Hechad Tzivanu. The reason for that is because Ner Chanukah is a whole new invention. But if you would ask me about whether to make a bracha on Lulav Kol Shiva, which is only a takkanis from Yochim and Zakai, there I don't think I would ask you the question, Heichad Tzivanu. Heichad Tzivanu, L'kachnem L'chem Yom HaRishon, the Rabbanon are extending that Yom HaRishon. But it's not a new entity. Okay then? I think we'll have to stop here, because we ran out of time, but Harbe Yosef Mashikosu Khan, okay? Sure. Next week, if you'd like, maybe we could dedicate this chabura to the Rubs.
Oh, we'll do it during this time.
Yeah, if you want to.
Because
I'll tell you the truth. If...